Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Be'ezras Hashem, BPW, shear number 130. That's Bais Panimi, shear for women, shear number 130. This shear, the big gist of it was really focused on men, because stereotypically men have this problem and this issue about viewing the sexual aspects in an unhealthy way towards their wives. But truth be told, the reason why we're giving this shear on the women's side of it is, you know, for many reasons. One reason being is that even though overall, stereotypically, men have a certain disposition and women have a different one, but very often, more often than I thought, based on feedback that I received, it's sometimes often reverse. So for example, this concept of husbands being visually stimulated to have physical intimacy by women, it's more an emotional connectivity first, sometimes is reversed, where it's the men that need the emotional to get to the physical and the women feel the physical right away, although that is not as common as the other way around. And it is also true, especially in the younger generation, but perhaps even in, you know, when you're more in your 30s and even beyond 40s and so on, you may have wrong concepts of what sexuality is about, even on the women's side. Although it's more easily, a nisayon for men, because for the most part, they're more visually oriented. So the problem we have in our generation, especially as we explained many times in our culture, that they view, unfortunately, the sexual aspects of things as their own entity, separate from the relationship. We see this again and again, over and over in our society, that sex is perceived as the ultimate goal. There's a focus on just doing it. There's a focus on just the hooking up with no expectation whatsoever of any commitment, serious commitment between two people. And it becomes an avodah zarah. Very often the sexuality becomes an avodah zarah, what we worship as a sort of a idol. Now, sex within marriage, of course, is definitely important. It's crucially important. But it's not, of course, not the only part of marriage that's worth pursuing. It's part of the whole fabric of the marriage. It is true that to have a satisfying marriage, one needs to have a healthy physical, sexual, intimate life in the marriage. But you can never experience a true satisfying and fulfilling sex that's apart from the relationship. You can't have one without the other. The results of trying to separate one from the other is devastating. You can never experience true satisfying and fulfilling sex apart from the relationship itself, because Hashem created us to be relational as human beings. Sex is part of the relationship. It is the most satisfying and meaningful when it is part of the relationship. That's where it brings the most joy. That's the way Hashem created these relationships. That's the way Hashem created us. Now, of course, very often, and again, another purpose of this shir is that hopefully the men are listening to when we speak about this on their side of the mechitza in the men's group. But if they don't, or they need reminding, this is something that you could discuss with them, about how generally men and women are viewing sexuality differently from one another. The idea being is sex is indeed about pleasure, but the focus on pleasure, if you just focus on that, you're missing the larger purpose of what it is. It's not about immediate gratification. It's not about immediate pleasure. It's not about me per se. That's the opposite of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. It goes both ways, by the way. For the people who enjoy sex very, very much, they need to understand it's not about immediate gratification and it's not about pleasure. But the people who don't enjoy it much, naturally, they need to understand that it is an important purpose and they need to work towards it using it the right way, because Hashem does want sex in the relationship. That's where the Shechinah is, when done the right way, with the Shalom that the Chazal talk about. When Yezoich HaShalom is there, the Shechinah is there. It's talking about the bedrooms. It's not just talking about the Shabbos table or the Pesach Seder night. Of course, Hashem is there, and there's tremendous Kedusha there. It's Kedusha in the room where the husband studies, or by the table where he learns, or he eats with a Kedusha. but it's in the bedroom. But it has to be with a realistic expectation of watching it the right way and removing negative influence from the relationship and working through with each other in all these different types of concepts over here. So the first thing we're going to mention over here about the relationship overall, people use the word cheating, cheating on their husband, cheating on their wife, when they're talking about infidelity or pornography and other things like that. And we're not going to discuss it now, and we don't like discussing it, frankly, at all, although we had shiurim on this, and it has to be discussed, so we do talk about it because we need to. But one needs to understand that there's many ways you could cheat on your marriage, even if you're loyal, even if you're faithful, even if you watch your eyes, even if you watch yourself from unhealthy other emotional attachments. Sometimes you could cheat on your husband by being a workaholic, by not attending his needs, by not caring for him. Sometimes you cheat by withholding affection. Sometimes you cheat by giving too much time and energy, yes, even to your children, or to others besides our own husbands. Sometimes we cheat because we shut off the switch and don't try to connect emotionally with our husbands. Now, sometimes we don't do it because our husbands need to work on their end to do what they need to do to help the wives open up. That is very true. But very often, the wives also lack the effort. I think it's a two-way street. It is a two-way street where each one in their own nisyanos, in their own challenges, they need to work harder on themselves to make this part of the relationship better. And we become selfish with our sexuality. In some cases, we become selfish with our sexuality by overusing it and thinking about just have our own pleasure of it. And for those that are uninterested, we're selfish about our sexuality, but not utilizing it the right way for the sake of the relationship, for the sake of our true selves, and for the sake of our husbands. And it's a serious problem. It's a void that we sometimes escape into instead of working with each other to make this part of the relationship better. So part of redefining the sexual relationship is to face our selfishness head on. Our selfishness by pursuing pleasure for our own sakes only and not willing to think about the other. Or for those that are block it off, that's a selfishness as well. It goes both ways. Good sexual relationship in a marriage is other-centered. It allows you to focus on your spouse. Now, a husband needs to be a noisein, he needs to be a mashpia, he needs to be the initial giver of things and a provider of things. We talked about it very often. So he has to do his part. But whether he's doing his part beautifully or less beautifully, a wife has a lot that she can do to bring it together and to spark her husband to start behaving better towards her and so on and so forth. It's other-centered. It's allowing you to focus on your spouse. You have a right to focus on your own receiving because a woman is to receive. You listen to Mrs. Davis's shiurim on receiving in a healthy way, which is actually giving. So you don't ignore your own sexuality. You don't ignore your own pleasure. But it's always not based on a selfishness. It's based on the relationship itself. It's based on loving your husband. It's based on giving to one another and respecting one another. And your receiving then is the giving, and the giving is the receiving. One can never say that I'm not having sex is not my problem. Neither one has a right to say that. Of course, they have a right. They can say whatever they want. But that is a sign of a certain selfishness or immaturity, a lack of willing to work on the relationship in a healthy way. It's both their problems, and it's both their issues, and they both need to work through it. They need outside help. They get the outside help. Because the sexual aspects of a marriage is both a privilege and an achrayas. It's both. There's no such thing as forcing chalila. There's no such thing as just demanding chalila. But it is a privilege and a responsibility. Overall, yes, a husband and wife together are called by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a privilege and as a responsibility to satisfy each other's sexual needs, to give of one another, to meet each other's needs as best as possible. Of course, does that mean you always say yes? Of course not. You know, listen to Mrs. Davis and some of her shiurim, very well put about that's not the purpose, just to for sexual release or to relieve tension or to make sure her husband doesn't stray. All this is not what it's all about. It's about connectivity and unity and love. But overall, the attitude needs to be, we're giving to each other, we're not denying to each other. And when there has to be situations where something can't happen, you do it in a very sensitive way, with always leaving that opening that when the right time, very soon, it will be good and we'll be together. Because that's what we really want. But it has to be a connection of physical and emotional intimacy combined. Now, for most men, the physical intercourse is the fundamental part of it that allows them to open up emotionally. For most women, they need emotional security and warmth in order to activate the physical desire. They need to feel relaxed first and emotionally safe. The shears brought here, number one, is that the wives could explain this to the husbands, just like we explained it ourselves when we give shiurim on the men's side of things. But it's also because sometimes personalities are different. And sometimes the husband is a different type of person, where he is not visually oriented as most men are. And he does have that emotional side that needs nurturing, and the emotional side that needs nurturing. You see couples like that as well, where a wife, for whatever reason, is more tougher or more physical and less emotional and doesn't have that as a strong need. And the husband does. And in that case, the roles are somewhat reversed than the normal marriage shiurim that you normally give. In those type of marriages, where that is the case, and I'm pretty sure that some of you listening, it does resonate with you because this is the type of relationship that you have based on your personalities, where then it's the opposite is true. Here, where normally it is the wife that needs to exert herself to be, to work on the physical aspects of the desire, and the husband's working on the emotional aspects of the desire, sometimes it's actually reverse. Where it is the husband, because he has a lower drive, or because whatever reason, he's not activated by his physicality, but more like by his emotions, so he needs to work hard in developing that physical aspect of the sexual relationship. While the wife, on the other hand, she may have the spontaneous desire, and that's not an issue with her. In a way, it's even too much on her mind, and she struggles with that, which is seemingly the minority, but it's quite common, more common than people know. But she's not developed emotionally in connecting with her husband, and she has to develop that emotional warm side to herself. So it really depends on the individual. That's why we give the shiurim, even though they're not stereotypical sometimes, to get an idea of what it is, so that if you're that type of personality, you could work through that. So you don't deprive each other of these things, of any type of intimacy, emotional or physical, as a general rule. And if you go to a mentor and a counselor and they tell you that besides the nida period right now in your relationship, you need to abstain physically, you only do that with the hadracha of a mentor with approval of a rav, and it has to be a mutual consensual thing. It has to be for only a specific time period, generally speaking, and that you work on each other's relationship emotionally, but without asking a rav, without direction, without anything, you can never decide on your own to do something like that. It's very, very dangerous, and it could, you think you're doing the right thing, but it could create a further drifting apart. You really need to get hadracha when it comes to that. Sometimes there's a deep hurt there, a deep trauma, so it has to be worked on. And also the reciprocity of it is a problem. In other words, we told it on the husband's side very often. He thinks that because he went grocery shopping, we helped around in the house, he could count on sex later on, even though it's not necessarily planned. And he has to understand it doesn't work like that. No, there's no tit for tat over here. But at the same time, on the wife's side, if he does show that warmth and that kindness, and he's not trying to get anything in return, and your heart is warm towards him, and you're inclined to be with him, no reason not to. No reason not to express that. But the key is on both ends, not to expect something in return. It's not always easy. Of course, kamayim panim al panim, overall in the relationship, when you give, you're going to receive back. Kamayim panim al panim, it's going to flow back to you. But the concept is, though, is you don't expect to do something good with expecting a physical intimacy to take place or extra stuff to take place, like you do this, I do that type of thing. That's not healthy. The overall relationship needs to be other-centered without that expectation. So again, we brought all this up because it's very important. It's usually a men's issue, what we described here, less so a woman's issue. But sometimes it could be a woman's issue. Sometimes the man needs reminding in a calm, pleasant way to explain what he needs, what you need from him. And that's why in some of these shiurim, you know, we were in the middle of a few things here. I didn't finish the Sefer Shalva Ba'Menesayich. I didn't finish the book Pat Love. And here we're going to a different aspect as I'm talking to the men about it, that I feel it's important to talk to the women about as well, to understand the dynamic of these things pertaining to the private life and the intimate life, which is very, very important. But again, that is the idea. The idea is the blend. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the shalom, which is a combination of the physical and the emotional and the spiritual love for one another. And that's the shalom that's there. And that's when Hashem dwells with them and brings tremendous bracha to the both. And that's where you're most yourself, and that's where you most feel oneness and healing comes, and a true love comes that actually brings a tremendous simchas achayim, a beauty of life, and an appreciation, hakar satayv to Hashem, and hakar satayv to your husband, hakar satayv for your whole family, and all that Hashem is giving to you when we reframe our minds and use this in a healthy way. Bracha v'atzlacha.